Senate Agriculture, Veterans, and Budget and Policy Committee will come to order. We'll start out today hearing from our fiscal analyst about the bill, bring you up to details on the spreadsheet, and we will pass those out. Members, I'd like to go through all the spreadsheet and through both the ag and veterans. And then we get to that point, I'm going to make a motion that we accept the spreadsheet. If you don't want that, that's fine. Before we take amendments, we'll take amendments after we get the two spreadsheet. Okay. Otherwise, you're going to change all of the figures, and they're pretty fine-tuned, what we have in the money right now. So, Mr. Mueller, if you would, maybe they better see that they got them first.
All pretty interested in that budget. They're all pretty interested in the budget.
Clippers.
I'll sell mine.
Are they already out?
I don't know.
Oh, here's more coming. This isn't as big as we were.
Wreck your finger.
I made 75. If they run out, you might have to make more. Now we got a
quorum is present. Mr. Mueller, do you want to start out?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members, what I have here is passed out is a two-page spreadsheet, front and back. This is sort of a condensed version of, for any of you that are interested, I have another separate nine-page spreadsheet that goes in way more detail by each program area of each agency. But it all ties out to what's on this page. This page shows just the change items for each agency and then the totals for the agency. Like I said, I have a much more detail. I brought about 9 or 10 versions of my nine-pager for anyone that's interested in it. And I'll also post both versions on the Senate Council Fiscal Analyst website for any vote in the public. But what this two-pager does is basically goes through change items. We'll start with, and I'll talk a little bit about our target for this committee for the general fund was $32 million for the current, for the 08-09 biennium and also for the same amount for the 10 and 11 biennium. Then we also got an additional somewhat hard or soft target of about another $7.5 to $7.7 million of one-time spending. We will be forwarding we have some language here that we'll be forwarding some separate language to Senator Cohen's committee, and he's putting together his own separate one-time spending bill that will encompass spending from all different budget divisions. And that is on the second page of your spreadsheet on the bottom, the one-time general fund requests. So I'll start out on page one, the Department of Ag, and I put line numbers on the left-hand side and column letters on top, so hopefully you can follow along. Basically, there's three columns to look at depending on how you want to judge this proposal. There's one column I is the Senate proposal versus the previous biennium. Column J is basically what we judge our target against, which is the Senate proposal versus the February forecast. And then the column K is the Senate proposal versus what the governor had in his proposal. So I'll go down the line items of changes. Basically start out with the Department of Ag before any changes for the 08-09 biennium had a total spending target of $140.49 million. That included all funds, state and federal funds. All the change items, except for the bottom two, are general fund change items. I'll go through those quickly. The line number 11 is the invasive species proposal from the governor, and the Senate is proposing to fund that at the governor's level. The emergency planning response is the next one. It was the governor's proposal. The premise ID and record keeping was the governor's proposal. The meat inspection was the governor's proposal. The electronic field inspection was the governor's proposal. The laboratory rent building rental increase was the governor's proposal. And we funded all of those at the governor's level. The first change from the governor's proposals is Clean Water Legacy. In this bill, we are funding the governor's request for 08-09 only and not the ongoing clean water request. Part of the reason is it looks like the way the other clean water appropriations are being handled in Senator Anderson's committee, they'll probably be only to do those as one time also. So we wanted to make all the clean water proposals across the board between the two budget divisions as one time because of the targets. The compensation adjustment on line 18, this amount here is above the governor's by $508,000. The governor proposed a 2% compensation adjustment on all general fund. The Senate is proposing a 3.25%. So this is $508,000 in the biennium over the governor. Line 19 is a governor's proposal for Minnesota Grown. And then we get into some new programs here that are Senate only. Lines 20 through 23 come from Senator Kubley's Senate File 480, the bioenergy bill. We have $3 million of one-time expenditure for bioenergy capital equipment loans. This will be run through the Department of Ag's BMP program. $150,000 of one-time money for business development. Then the next one, line 22, is the bioenergy producer payments. These ones start until 2011, and you see that being carried over in column M, which is in the tails. And that is the maximum amount that could be spent in that year. So that's the number that we loaded in there. The next one in Senator Kubley's bill that is being proposed here is the money for MISA, which is the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Ag at the University of Minnesota. It'd be $750,000 the first year and then $1 million ongoing for bioenergy research. The next program, line 24, is an addition to the Sustainable Ag Demo Grants, Senator Vickerman bill, for $130,000 per year. The next one is the Senator Lori bill, providing some additional funding for organic certification cost share at an additional $100,000 per year. The next two, line 26 and 27, are some of the ethanol fuel studies that were brought to us by Senator Skoy and Senator Bach at one with the Boys for Chippewa and then White Earth. The original bills had these requests coming out of the existing ethanol program, but on this proposal we're funding them with new general fund money. Line 28 is the bill from Senator Skoy for County and District Ag Societies at an additional $116,000 per year. Line 27 is the Senator Stump proposal for some additional grant for the Minnesota Forage Turf Seed Advisory Committee for $250,000. That's a one-time cost. The next line, 30, is $250,000 per year of additional funding for the Minnesota Ag Leadership Council. Line 31 is the governor's bioenergy initiative. The governor's initiative had $10 million in 08-09 and $18 million in 10-11 for this program, which was basically a grant program. And we're not doing that in this proposal, and you could probably substitute the Senator Kubley proposals for that. The last two items are out of the Ag Fund and their statutory provisions, and they tie to some of the revenue changes down on line 39 through 41. These are just some small changes that were in the governor's bill. in the Department of Ag dealing with retail food handler and the Minnesota Grown program, and the fees that they'll collect some little bit additional fees for those purposes. So those programs are kind of a wash. They don't count against our general fund target. So that brings us to $15.8 million above the forecast of new spending in 08-09 for the Department of Ag, which is about $2.5 million below the governor. And that's about $19 million in the tails above the forecast. The next agency is the Animal Health Board. There's only a few change items here. The forecast base for the total agency is about $10.196 million. Of that, about $5.9 million is general fund. They had two additional general fund adjustments here. The elimination of the bovine tuberculosis was a governor's proposal and a bill that Senator Scoy carried. We changed a little bit. The Senate is carrying on the ongoing tails cost that would be above the governor. The governor actually had the program's price going down in the out years. We're carrying the $363,000 per year out into the tails, and seems like a program that, at least for now, could probably use some ongoing, a little bit stable funding. The compensation adjustment here for the Animal Health Board, again, is $212,000 above the governor, because the governor, Senate's doing it at 3.25% instead of 2%. So that's about $1,000,023 above the forecast for the Animal Health Board, which is a little bit $82,000 above the governor. But yeah, the compensation adjustment was only $82,000 above the governor. Next, we get to the Ag Utilization Research Institute. They had a base funding of $3.2 million. The Senate is proposing an additional $700,000 per year of ongoing money for the AURI. This is sort of a combination of what the governor had in his bill. I think the governor had $800,000 of additional money, and Senator Kubley's bill had some one-time money for the AURI, so we kind of combined those two proposals together, and that would be $1.4 million for the biennium of additional spending, bringing their agency total to $4.6 million in 08-09, and same in the tails. Next, we get to the Department of Military Affairs. They had a general fund base in 08-09 of about $35.108 million, and they also get a small amount of special revenue directly appropriated of $676,000. Then they have a rather large open and statutory spending amount of $181.76 million. Most of that is federal dollars. There are a number of change items here, most of them proposed by the governor. Starting on line 74 is the governor's proposal for special assessments at $185,000. Next, is line 75 is the a part of the governor's proposal for increased cost for Army maintenance at $800,000 per year, which is about a little bit less than half of what the governor had requested. But once we get down to the one-time request on the bottom, we are asking for that difference down in the bottom, at least with one-time money for the difference for $1.9 million. I'll get to that when I get to the one-time requests. The compensation adjustment is $109,000 above the governor. The reintegration program is at the governor's level, $1.5 million. The general support program at $560,000 is at the governor's level. And this is the line 79 is the from Senate File 487, Senator Pretner Solon, for the Honor Guard. This is kind of going back to the original language in the bill after the committee amended the bill to include all veterans. The price tag jumped dramatically. So basically, this proposal here scales it back to kind of the original intent of the original language in the bill, at least for the Department of Military Affairs, which would cost about $30,000 per year. The new spending then for Department of Military Affairs is about $4.186 million in 08-09, and then about $2.6 in the tails. And then again, we have some additional spending in one time that We won't be able to count in this bill once this bill gets introduced. Some of that one-time stuff will exist in a different bill. Next, we have the Department of Veteran Affairs. Their general fund base for 08-09 is $14.53 million. There's a special revenue direct appropriation of $676,000 in the base. Then there's some additional money spent in the base for open and statutory, a little bit of federal money and such, about $1.3 million. That's all in the base and will not be changing. The change items, starting on line 89, are the governor's level for the $1 million per year for the state soldiers assistance program. The next item is the partial funding of the governor's CVSO grants at $500,000 per year, which is about $2.3 million below the governor. But again, this is another one of the areas where we make up the funding at least in 08-09 with a one-time request to Senator Cohen's bill. The next item is line 91, Veterans Outreach Tribal Services. That's at the governor's level at $1.5 million. The next item is the Veterans Outreach and the MACV Homeless Program. This proposal here has this as one-time funding at the governor's level. So it would be carrying it or a little bit less than the governor's level, $750,000 per year. And that's a little bit below, that's $250,000 per year below the governor's level and for one biennium only. The next item is marketing outreach programs within the veterans area. That is at the governor's level for 08-09, but with no tails, no ongoing funding. Line 94 is veteran service organizations, funding that at the governor's level of $250,000 per year. This is addition to what they already get from the special revenue fund. The next one is the Higher Education Association offices, the HESO offices. This is a partial funding of the governor's request at $450,000 per year, which is about $1.4 million less than the governor's for the biennium. The next item is information technology initiatives in the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's $100,000 per year, which is the same as the governor's level. We also have the governor's request for the state cemetery at $75,000 per year. And the next one is also a governor's request for administration resources at $500,000 per year. And then the compensation adjustment, again, we're at the Senate level at 3.25%, which costs another $121,000 above the governor. The total amount you'll see in line J, line 113, is $31.995 million above the base. So our target was $32 million. I guess we're $5,000 below target. The line 109 includes the couple of changes that we did in the Ag Fund. But as far as our target goes, look at line 113 and in column J. And in column O, both those targets for us were $32 million, so we're a little bit below target in both areas. The last part, then, is the one-time request that we are forwarding to Senator Cohen's full finance committee. So that's starting on line 117. We're going to carry some language from the governor's bill, but focus it on gasification projects and allocate $1 million for 2 years, $1 million per year for 2 years. So it's not the whole governor's proposal, but it's some of the governor's language in his next gen program and the focus on gasification projects. And when we go through the language later on, Greg will maybe explain that a little bit better. Line 118, we have $950,000 for each year for 2 years for increased Army maintenance. This would be on top of what we're funding up on line 75, and this is sort of the makeup for what getting us up to the governor's number. The same thing for CVSO grants on line 119 of $2.3 million. Again, this is the difference between the what's going to be requested in this bill and from the governor's request. Same thing for the HESO offices. The governor had $500,000 of one-time money for HESO offices, and we're carrying that down here. And then the last item, line 121, is the request that we had for the disabled veterans camp for $1 million. And we're going to forward that to Senator Cohen. So that $7.7 million isn't part of our $32 million target. It's in addition to it, but will be carried in a separate bill. That is the proposal. If you have any questions about the spreadsheet or some of the numbers, at least, I can be happy to answer them.
Members, I'd like to sit here and say we needed more money, but I know we did, but we didn't have it. So we worked it out the best, I think, that we possibly could. So if there's no further questions, before we get into more details, I would move that we adopt the spreadsheet that's before you today. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted now. We need to move on again. Gregor.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members, you've got three documents in front of you. One is the rewritten on the agriculture appropriations, Article 1. That's the SC4689-4. And then you have the military and veterans, the dash 3, the 4923-3. And then you've also got a one-time 5500-1. But what I'll do is I'll just go through the dash 4 document, the first one, Article 1. And I went through in detail last Thursday on some of the language. I'll just kind of go through it real quickly and highlight some of the changes that were made. Right away on page 2, this is the department. Somebody from the agency called me up on this. And if you look at the rider from 2.8 to 2.16, this was added 2 years ago to the bill. And it was some additional money for for monitoring pesticides in groundwater. It was a rider from there. What this did, I changed it a little bit on 2.10 to say that it's a continuation of the increase, that the amount that would be in here wouldn't be an increase above what was done 2 years ago. There was some issue as to whether or not to continue to include this, but if you do include it, it guarantees that the money will get spent for this purpose. So I just wanted to point that out. That's just a minor change from last time. And most of these are all governor's riders and base riders. If you see on the first and second and third page, you do have the rider on page 3 dealing with the sustainable agriculture from Senator Vickerman's bill. Again, base riders and the clean water legacy on the bottom of page 4. Some of these will have to be modified since you adopted one-time money for some of the clean water legacy provisions. That we'll have to add a section in later, but that will be based on the spreadsheet adopting that. We'll be adding that in when we put the bill together for introduction. You can see in the bottom of page 4, this is from Senate File 480, Kubley, that rider starting on line 4.33. Again, we've got the rider on page 5 from Senator Lurie's 1039. It's a modified version, and I think that may be changed again this afternoon. You've got on page 6 of base riders, and then the rider on the bottom for Senator Kubley's bill, Senate File 480. Again, I'm just going to go through this pretty quickly. On page 7, the rider that begins on 7.8 is from Senate File 480. And then the rider on 7.16 is from Senator Box, Senate File 597. And then the rider on 7.31 is from Senator Scoy's bill, Senate File 1211. On page 8, that's a base rider that begins on 8.14 for the dairy enhancement and profitability program. Base riders on page 9, except for the rider on 9.8, that's from Senate File 496, Senator Scoy, and there is additional money, as Mr. Mueller went through the spreadsheet, for the aid payments for county and district agricultural societies. On the bottom, that's a new item, the bottom of page 9, but it was the committee heard before going through the appropriations bill, a bill from Senator Stump, Senate File 1580. It starts on, the rider starts on 9.27. It's a one-time grant to the Minnesota Turf Seed Council. So that's new. Base rider is on page 10. Base rider in the top of page 11, and then that one on 11.8 is from Senator Scoy's Senate File 497. And then 11.15, that's from Senator Scoy's Senate File 133. The rest of those are base riders. And then the on page 12, the rider Senator Kubley on 12.7 is a base rider. Or no, excuse me, that's from Senator Kubley's Senate File 480. And then they see a new provision here on 12.11. All of the Senate, as I understand it, all the articles in the Senate are going to be carrying this compensation increase language on 12.11. It states that that the money, the 3.25%, must be used for compensation. So that'll be, you'll see that in all of the Senate bills with regard to the compensation increases. And then the remainder of this is all the statutory language, generally from the governor's bill, from the governor's request, all the way up through, and we talked about this last Thursday, all the way up through page 18, and that's where the language from Senator Kubley's bill starts in section 22. And that's basically the same as you had. There were just a couple of technical provisions that I noticed between that meeting and this one. Some wording changes that very minor, including that would be actually in section 23. It starts on page 22. That's the bioenergy production. Again, we went through this last week, and there were just some minor changes. And then on page 24, again, these are governor's recommendations. And then on line page 25, there was an amendment on 25.20 through 25.21. You adopted an amendment to the provision on last Thursday, and this reflects that, where you don't see any new language there. There was some stricken language and some underlined language last time, but this reflects that amendment that was adopted by the division. And then again on page 26, it's all governor's language. Same with page 27 and page 28, including the repealers, are all from the recommendations of the governor. So that's the language that was provided last week, along with some changes, some minor changes between then and now.
Thank you, Mr. Canale. Mr. Bonham, can you start out?
Mr. Chairman, then I'll pick up the document labeled SC 4923-3. That contains the continuing budget recommendations for the Military and Veterans Affairs Appropriations. And again, like Mr. Knopf did, I'm only going to go over the changes, and really that's very brief. You'll see on page 3, beginning on line 3.10, there's a rider there that reserves money for the administration of veterans programming. And there's some new language beginning on line 3.11 that reserves a portion of the appropriation for an ombudsman for residents and family members of residents at the Minneapolis Veterans Home, and it contains a reporting requirement for that ombudsman. The department would be required to provide for that position from the administration rider that you see there. And then on page 5, the only other new language since we last discussed this on last week, section 5 on page 5 provides the compensation increase language that Mr. Knopf also described.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, on these articles that we're working through, when are you going to be thinking of looking at some amendments on the provision that we just went through? I do have a relatively small amendment to make on page 326. I was wondering when would be the appropriate time to make those.
Senator Scoy, maybe we should go through the one-time money, and then we'll come back, okay. and then we're through all the articles. So, Mr. Bonham.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can finish the description of what you have in front of you fairly quickly here. Moving to the document that's labeled SC 5500-1, Agricultural and Veterans Affairs One-Time Appropriations. I'll point out there, this is a new document. You didn't see it last week, and it's intended to reflect the items that are labeled at the bottom of Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet on page 2. So looking at section 2 on page 1, that just want to clarify that that basically says every appropriation in this bill is for the 2008-2009 biennium only. You won't see the this is a one-time appropriation language repeated throughout the bill, since every appropriation is intended to be for the next biennium only. On the bottom of page 1 is the only one-time appropriation at this point for the Department of Agriculture. Maybe Mr. Knopf wants to describe that briefly.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, what this is it's the language from the governor's – well, it's a modified version of the language from the governor's recommendation, and it deals with gasification. The key here is that – and this is the one – and actually, in the governor's recommendation, this was only one-time money. They were going to look at the $18 million in the next biennium was going to be based on some recommendations of another group. But the money for this biennium, the $10 million, was going to be spent in here. And this is for projects, for grants, for gasification. The big difference is the governor's bill was going to set up a panel with appointments that would have had to go through – well, at least state and local government, possibly rules. I mean, they weren't legislative appointees, but they were appointees by the speaker and the majority leader. And so what this does is it says that the grant shall be awarded by the Commissioner of Agriculture after consultation with interested persons, and then it allows the commissioner to establish a panel to advise the commissioner on grants awarded under this paragraph. So it basically just allows that to go forward. And I think when Mr. Mueller went through the spreadsheet, you probably noticed there was $2 million for this in the one-time recommendations to Senator Cohen.
Then, Mr. Chairman, on page 2 of the one-time funding bill, you'll see there's just a very brief header for the Department of Military Affairs providing that one-time funding for maintenance of training facilities. Then the various items that you see under Veterans Affairs are almost all taken identically to the way these are also items in the continuing funding bill. They are worded virtually identically, of course, with the caveat that the money that would be appropriated here would be one time only. At the bottom of page 3, paragraph C, beginning on line 3.19, is an appropriation that's intended to reflect what was in the contents of Senate File 821, which is Senator Saltzman's bill on the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp in Washington County. The difference here is, of course, this is general fund money, and the bonding language is not necessary. And it does have a right, sentence saying it's available until spent. And that's pretty much what you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman.
And I think I'll make a statement first. If you have every right to make amendments, but remember, if you take money from this division, you have to figure out how you're going to do that. You want to take somebody's money, tell me where you're going to find the money. I think that's what we need to know. Be aware of that. If you want to take some money, X amount of dollars from some program, then you got to figure out what other program you're going to take the money from and put it back in there, because we're setting that tight. So, Senator Scoy, I think you have a...
Mr. Chair, I have two language amendments I'd like to offer. In the Military and Veterans Affairs Appropriation 4923-3, on page 3, line 26, where the grants to counties for veteran service officers are being awarded, I think the governor has an initiative to expand the veteran services officers to include tribal entities. So after counties, I would like to insert the words "and tribal councils."
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, if you look on page 2 of the same bill, at the bottom there, page 2, line 25, there's a rider for outreach to veterans, and then a portion of that rider is reserved for tribal veterans services offices. And I think in the spreadsheet we picked that up, if not right at, it's at the governor's recommendation.
So, Mr. Chair, with that provision, then this amendment wouldn't be necessary.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, on the 4689 agriculture 4689, yes. I have the A4 amendment, and while that's being passed out, if I could tell a little bit about what this is for.
Senator Scott, what page is it?
Page 18, after line 31. That's not correct.
Can't be right.
You got 1.6.
Section 22. That's
right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they're getting. It's the, do you have the A4?
I'm not working on it. I need the A4.
Or the 4.
What this amendment does, members, is the Board of Animal Health was required by USDA to do a testing for bovine TB in 1,500 herds across the state. There were a small number of animals that were required to be destroyed in order to verify the bovine TB test. They had to send the test down to Iowa. The animals had to be killed for that. There is was some issues with regard to the language as to whether the USDA was going to pay for that or whether the board. I think this is the language that will allow the Board of Animal Health to deal with those small number of destroyed animals. And I see Dr. Hartman is here. If you had any questions, I think he would offer some assistance. But that is the intention of this amendment.
Discussion. The Scoia motion, we adopt A-4. Mm-hmm. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Any other amendments? Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A-5 amendment.
Senator Kubley, can you tell us what page that's on?
Well, it makes a number of changes, Mr. Chair. It removes some language that I think is somewhat duplicative, and it makes a few other choices. If you want to look, it starts on page 19 on line 24 and 25, and it deletes the words non-genetically modified. One's non-genetically is on line 24, and modified is on 25. Okay.
Senator Kubley, we'll wait a minute until they pass out.
All right. Yeah, it's got quite a number of pieces, Mr. Chair, but. Chair. Okay. Then going on page 19, line 28, would you delete everything after the period, delete line 29, and, you know, on line 31, we would delete 51 and insert 60, but that's that goes with some of what is below it as well. Line 32, after owned, you'd insert and controlled, so that, you know, it would read, line 32, you know, the percent owned and controlled by farmers as defined in section 500.24. That's a statute that defines an active farmer. Then on lines 33 and 34, you delete those lines and insert or natural persons who reside in. And on line 35, after county, insert where the cellulosic biofuel facility is. And then, is located. And after or, insert in an. And you move over to the next page. Going down to line 14, you delete everything after the period, and then you delete everything through the end of that paragraph, Mr. Chair. Lines 15 through 18. Then on page 22, line 23, delete this subdivision and in the wording there. And then on line 25, delete A and insert for the purposes of this section. Then a little further down on page 22, delete lines 30, 31, and 32. Then on page 23, on line 7, you delete everything after the period again and then delete the remainder of the paragraph, lines 8 through 11. Now, when we looked at changing some of the numbers, I think part of my concern was, deleting 51% farmers, and then we inserted the number 60, but that accounts for both the farmers and the people who might be interested in owning a share of one of these plants at a community level. That was 75 total. Now it's 60 total. I think part of my concern grows out of, some of the difficulty some plants have had in finding the investors that they needed, and if we're going to look for that 60% in the county in which the plant is located and contiguous counties, there are so many counties out there that have a small number of people. I think I've got several counties just in my Senate district that have less than 10,000 people. And so, I have some concern that we'd be able to find the investors that we need in that small an area, and so that was the reason for shrinking that number. We could also increase the radius around that to more than the contiguous counties, but this was the direction we chose to go, and if it's the wish of the committee, we could expand the area around that too, and that would be another acceptable way, I think, of dealing with the same issue.
Senator Coobley, is that your full amendment now?
That's pretty much it, Mr. Chair. The other 40% would not have a restriction on where they lived in the state.
I just have a...
Senator Dale.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Coobley, just a quick question here. I see there's quite a bit of detail as to how the mix of prairie grass should be made up, at least two legumes and at least two...
Well, I think we deleted some of that, Senator Dale.
Well, not that.
Okay. I know I think we did some of it, too, but where did that recommendation come from?
Well, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, I guess... I thought it was a bit prescriptive. It seems to me that if you're following best management practices, that you don't need the following language. And in talking with Senator Scoy, he seemed to agree with that as well. So, you know, I think, you know, it was just an attempt to make it a bit less prescriptive.
But, Mr. Chair and Senator Kubley, you still have got the, as I understood your amendment, you still have the mix must contain at least two legumes, two cool season grasses, four warm season grasses.
Can you tell me what page and line you're on, Senator Deal?
Well, page 19, line 19.24.
Senator Kubley, Senator Deal, go through the chair, would you please? Senator Kubley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dale, you know, do you have a recommendation on that? Or, you know, should we just leave it at local prairie species, native prairie species?
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kubley, this may be a very excellent recommendation. I just don't know where it came from. I'd feel a little more comfortable with it if I knew who was recommending it or what the research was behind it that came up with this combination. And it may be just fine. I just don't know. If you're one grass short or one non-leguminous forb short of the definition here, does that somehow impact your eligibility for some of these programs you've got in the bill? I don't even know if there's eight non-leguminous forbs that are part of a diverse prairie. I don't know if there's 100 different types, or I just don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, Ms. Chair and Senator Dale, you know, I guess, you know, this bill was put together with quite a few different people. Maybe we could, can we take a little testimony, Mr. Chair?
If this is a hang-up, we need to know.
Yeah.
This is a hang-up.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, and if there's somebody going to testify on the diverse native prairie, perhaps they'd also like to address why we want to be so prescriptive that we're planting species that are prior to 1850, and what's the magic date there, and what do they have got going on?
It's up to you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Don Arnosti. I work for the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, and we are a member of Clean Energy Minnesota, and we helped assemble some of the language in this bill. Mr. Chairman and Senator Dill, to answer your question, we consulted some of the experts in native prairie research at the University of Minnesota, and from that derived this mix. We did consult. We're not saying that they own the language, but we did consult with Dr. Tillman, Dr. Lehman, and some of the other researchers that have been looking into productive native prairie systems.
Senator Scoy, you want to ask gentleman about your question?
Well, I'll just make a comment, Mr. Chair. My preference with regard to this section is that we do not have split producer payments, that we have a single producer payment. If we're going to do producer payments, that would go to, all agriculture equally, I guess. I think that we're going to get some of the environmental benefits, whether they're planting these restrictive species or whether they're allowing farmers to do what farmers do, which is try to improve the varieties that they're growing. So, I mean, I don't know where the Kubley Amendment's going to go, but for me personally, I'm thinking of some major changes would be in order.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Scoy, some of the concern that has arisen about establishing native prairies of non-local seed types has to do with swamping existing native seed genomes that exist. So this is an attempt to try to define what is appropriate native seed source. I think what we need to recognize is the genetic variation that Minnesota has been blessed with due to the fact that we are located near the edges of three different ecoregions is actually an agricultural asset. and the variety and variability that is found in our native seed sources perhaps hold the key to adjustments and adaptation of our agriculture as we move forward in a changing climate scenario. There's concern by many people who are managing natural areas right now that if, for example, and I'll just pull an example out of the air, but if we brought, for instance, prairie grasses from southern Illinois up because somebody commercialized them and we planted them extensively, we might actually swamp and lose our native genetic sources that are better adapted to our soils and climate and might provide the genetic basis for us to move forward in agriculture in coming years. So there's just a caution here that we need to be aware of, that when we're planting agricultural types next to wild types, we don't want to lose what we already have.
Senator Scoyfall.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Arnosti, I mean, we're going to be planting these on farmers' fields. It's not very likely that there's very many perennial native grasses growing there currently. And the one grass that would be probably a problem is crabgrass, but I wouldn't think that we'd be concerned about that. I'll just wait and see where the Kubley Amendment goes, and then we'll move on from there.
Senator Wirken, you have something to add?
I did, Mr. Chair, and it's kind of tags with what Senator Dill and Senator Scoy are saying, because I'm concerned about the prescriptive nature, too. Senator Kubley, if our objective is to do the best cellulosic biofuel development that we can, we should allow a greater degree of freedom in what plant species are used. Otherwise, we may well not get what's the most efficient or cost-effective. So if we limit it before we actually know what works, we'll never find out what works.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Before I recognize Mr. Arnosti, you don't need this. So if we need you, we'll call you back.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go to Senator Kubley, and then I believe it was...
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Wirken. I guess part of the reason that I think, having the native prairie species in there is due to some of the research that was done by Tillman and Hill and others at the university that indicates how much more production in terms of, the ethanol derived from a single acre is going to give you, and it does seem to me that with current research, at any rate, that doesn't preclude, of course, that there might be better research on another area that comes into play at a future time. But I guess this was an attempt to try and give an incentive to raise the kinds of grasses that were giving us that increased production. If it's 200 to 300 times more fuel that we can get on an acre of prairie grasses than it is on corn alone, shouldn't we do something to support that? I guess that was my thought in offering it. Mr. Chair, I think, maybe, I don't know, we'll see if I could just address what Senator Dill had said. I think we could strike on line 1925, consisting of not less than two legumes, and then on line 26, strike everything through the period. It would just say then a mix of local Minnesota native prairie species.
Senator Scoy, does that give you some comfort?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to just wait and see what happened with Kubley Amendment. I do have another amendment that I'm considering.
Senator Erickson-Robes, you're next.
Thank you. I would speak in favor of Senator Kubley's original language here simply because we are moving into a whole new field with the cellulosic. And we've heard a lot of fact-based and scientific research supporting this particular combination. And exactly as Senator Kubley just mentioned, if we're just beginning, we should at least begin with the facts as we know them. As the industry continues to develop, it may be that the university provides us with other combinations that are very effective. But right now, we know this works. And if we leave it up to local farmers to say, well, I'm going to pick X and Y and Q as a combination, and it isn't as effective as something that we already know works, You know, we're just opening up our local producers for not being as effective as they can be. And in addition, I think it's real important to follow the recommendations of the university, because we know with grass seed, we are going to be having some of those grasses blow off into neighboring fields and roadsides and ditches and fence rows. And we've certainly learned from the past, like purple loosestrife is a perfect example of an imported plant or a species that thrived and was contained because of insect populations in one area that doesn't work in Minnesota and, in fact, spreads all over. So I think it's real important to stay with the local genotypes to the region.
Senator Wergen, do you have a follow-up? I cut you off.
No.
Senator Dale, I'll go back to you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, I guess I'm warm to Senator Kubley's suggestion here. I'm not sure the university knows exactly for sure whether this combination is perfect or not. We've talked about all the research that needs to be done, and I think it's probably better at this point in time to allow for more flexibility. So I think Senator Kubley's suggestion to go to page 19, lines 19.25 to 19.26, and delete those two lines, or what's left of those two lines, except for A at the end of line 19.26. Probably, I would think that would probably be a good idea.
Well, I'll renew my my verbal amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley, I think you have to incorporate your the change into
the amendment. All right. Well, we can do that then, Mr. Chair. That'd be fine.
Everybody understand what Senator Kubley's doing? We have to get it in order. We have to include it. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Now we're back to the A5.
No, that is
as amended. Now, what do we need? Any further questions? Senator Scoy, you still have a question?
Has the A5 amendment been adopted?
No.
No.
Nope. I ask if there's any discussion on the A5 amendment as it was amended. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted.
Well, I do have a couple other amendments, Mr. Chair. Would you like me to do those at the same time, or do you want to pass it around?
I think I should go to Senator Scott.
That's fine.
He wanted to react after this.
No, that's fine.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, as I said, I have a little different approach to this provision, and perhaps we should consider the A2 amendment at this time and see what the committee thinks of my idea here. So if I could, I'd offer the A2 amendment.
Senator Scoy, if you can just wait a minute until they get past. Scoy on the A2 amendment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And, you know, as we've looked at this provision with regard to the cellulosic biofuels and the prescriptive language and the types of grasses and whether there's forbs and whether we allow genetic engineering and whether we allow plant genetics to occur, it has occurred to me that we really don't know what direction the state should be going and what exactly the best mechanisms are and what plants are going to be the best. And you know, as Senator Erickson-Rope said, you know, we really should be dealing with the facts as we know them. And from my perspective, we don't know a lot about what we're going to need. And so what this amendment does is it deletes Section 23 and 24 and asks the Commissioner of Agriculture to work with the Commissioners of Commerce and Natural Resources, Board of Water Resources, to do a pretty extensive discussion with the conservation and agriculture stakeholders and to develop recommendations for us to consider next year. And we can work next session through the interim this summer and next session to come up with what these recommendations should be, put together a broad group here to work on. And as you read down the different priorities that I would ask this group to bring back to the legislature. And I know that there's a lot of interest in this area, and I just think that perhaps a little more information before we move forward with this incentive would probably serve us well.
Discussion. Senator Coobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess part of my concern, I think the federal government is moving along with some issues that will pertain to the production of ethanol from biomass. And, you know, it sounds to me as though they're going to come up with a recommendation that says that, the states that are eligible are going to be those that have some language in place, Mr. Chair. So, I guess if that's the case, I think Minnesota would certainly be better off if we left the language of the bill in place instead of deleting that language that pertains to those portions, the bioenergy and the biofuels language. It would seem to me, if the federal farm bill, I see Senator Scoy has a little something here, but I'm just not sure that that would be adequate. I wonder if Senator Scoy might say a bit more about the language, the new language that he's offering as well.
Senator Scoy.
Well, Senator Coobley, you do make a point with regard to Sections 23 and Section 24, and you have worked on that language. Perhaps we could leave those sections in but include the study so we could learn more about this as we go forward. And as you said, Senator Coobley, lines 18 and lines 19 do ask them to maximize coordination with the expected 2007 federal farm bill. Of course, we'll be working with our Congressman Peterson on that, and hopefully we would be well aligned with what the federal government is going to do by the 2008 session.
Well, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. and Senator Scoy, I think, I guess I'm not opposed. If you're willing to leave, the language in place there, I guess, I would feel more comfortable with that. I would like to see Minnesota kind of take the lead on a second generation of biofuels. If you're comfortable leaving that language in there, then, I don't see anything wrong with having the study in addition to that. I guess, is there any other feedback that other committee members might have on that piece?
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just was wondering how does the SCOE amendment affect the money that Senator Coobley's got in the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chairman, just a point of reference, there is a typo on the sections being deleted. It should have been sections 22 and 23. I'm sorry about that. Mr. Mueller can talk about it, but there's $11 million in the tails for the bioenergy program. So I want to go into detail.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dill, back on the spreadsheet, on line, let me find it here, line 22, there's $11 million that is booked in 2011. This would be for the biofuels payment program. The other payment program that's the bioenergy. The biofuels would start until 2013, and that's beyond what we're tracking here. So Senator Scoy's amendment would delete both those payment programs, and thus it leaves sort of a open amount on our tails to the tune of almost $11 million.
Mr. Chair, and to
versus the tails, our tails target.
To the Mr. Chair, to the fiscal staff, if we were just deleting Section 22, That would only be affecting the 1 year that there is tails, and we could leave the Section 23 provision of bioenergy production in there.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, the Section 22 is the biofuels, and that's the one that's not being tracked until, 2013. So we're not tracking it, but yet if this did become law, it would become a base item in the out years once we started tracking those years. If we left Section 23 in the bill, the $11 million that we're carrying in the spreadsheet would stay. And that's the maximum amount that can be spent, so that's the amount that we're carrying in the spreadsheet for now. That's on line 23.35 of the bill. But you're right. If the original amendment as is adopted, there's an open amount of our tails that is basically going unspent.
Mr. Chair, could I ask Mr. Knopf, how would this amendment function if we were to do a striking of line 6 and then your oral amendment to change 23 to 22 on line 5?
Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you would be eliminating the biofuels program, but not the, so you would strike 1.6 from this, which should have actually read page 20. Actually, you want to delete lines 1.6 anyways. If you delete 1.5 and insert page 18, delete section 22 is actually the way you should state that. That would then delete the biofuel provision, the part that Minister Mueller talked about starting in 2013, but it would leave the bioenergy part in that provides it based on the BTU content of production. But there could be some potential issues if those sections kind of run together, and there are some definitions that do cross over, but we could fix that up if you decided to do that.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Skoy, so I'm not clear what your intent is. Now, I think I got the correct pages and section numbers, but you're indicating that you'd be willing to delete line 1.6 on the amendment. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Kubley, as we talked earlier today about this, and mm-hmm. I did have a discussion with Senator Kubley about what I was talking about doing, we had the discussion was that with regard to the cellulosic ethanol, we're a long ways away from knowing where we're going to go there. Would be well served to study that a little farther. We're closer with regard to the bioenergy, the kind of the gasification, I like to think of it, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term or not, but that's the way I think of it. You have made substantive changes to that language, so I was what my thought is that we could study the cellulosic ethanol over the interim and look at it next year, but leave the bioenergy production initiative that you've been working on. And that I think we did discuss that earlier today.
Well, Ms. Chair and Senator Skoy, I guess I would still express a preference, at least for leaving the language and just to kind of cover ourselves in the event of some federal action that gives priority to states that have some language in place. I guess that would be my primary concern. I don't see a problem with having 1.8 and following on your amendment in the bill in addition to what we have. I guess my primary concern would be keeping line 1.5 or deleting line 1.5 and 1.6. But, that can be up to the committee, too.
Mr. Skoy, follow up?
I would like that oral amendment made to the A2 amendment. Have we done that?
Well, Mr. Chairman Senator Scoia, you can incorporate whatever you want into the amendment. In fact, as I mentioned, there's kind of a technical, there was a typo in the way that the section is numbered. So I think what you should do is basically delete lines 5 and 6 from the amendment. What you want to do then is and insert page 18, delete section 22. And then that would, you can just incorporate, you don't need to even vote on that. You can incorporate that into your amendment. So that's the way it would work.
I would incorporate that. So on line 5, it would read page 18, delete section 22. And then we would start up again with line 7, which would become not line 6.
Mr. Chair, you know, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would appreciate voting on line 1.5, Senator Scoia. Just see what the wishes of the committee are.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Kubley, I would believe this would be divisible, so why don't we divide this amendment after line 7?
That would be fine, Mr.
After
Chair.
After line 6.
After line 6.
Yeah.
Mr. Scoia, you want to change your...
We will divide the amendment, and I would propose that we vote on the... doesn't matter, I guess, first part first.
Before we do that, Senator Chaudhry has been had his hand up quite a while ago, and then I'll come back to Senator Wergen. Senator Chaudhry?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just maybe I should understand the amendment as it reads now before I ask a question. What does the A2 amendment say now?
The A2, go ahead, Mr. Connolly.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, if you take the A2 as you have it, you need to delete line 1.5 and insert page 18, delete section 22, and then delete line 1.6. Otherwise, it reads the same as it was handed out. Where Senator Scoia is dividing it then is after line 1.6, or with the deleted line 1.6, so that the first half of this amendment basically deletes section 22, or the biofuels program, and the second half of the amendment inserts this next generation bioenergy recommendation.
Senator Wergens?
Okay.
Or well, follow up, Senator Chaudhry.
Well, Mr. Chair, we heard the portion of your bill regarding biofuels in the Environment Committee. We have not heard the proposed new section 29 regarding the study that involves natural resources and Bowser, as well as conservation stakeholders. Not sure what this is going to cost the departments, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Senator Scoia.
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, I'd be happy to delete natural resources and Board of Water Soil Resources if they don't want to have input.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Scoia, you still have conservation stakeholders.
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, I believe those are mostly other groups and individuals that are not going to have a cost to the state.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Scoia, it's your amendment, so we can do whatever you need to do with it.
Mr. Guy.
Well, if the chair of the Environment Policy Committee is thinking that this amendment would cause this bill to move to his division, and I gather that's what he's saying, could I get some clarification on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoia, yes, it would.
Then on line 10, I would move to strike natural resources and Board of Water Soil Resources.
And Mr. Chairman, on line 1.9, delete commissioners and insert commissioner.
Senator Kubley?
Well, Ms. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, I don't know. It would seem to me that it would be better to include those folks than to exclude them, but I guess, like you said, it's Senator Scoia's amendment, so we'll leave it up to him.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kubley, I agree. I think it would make sense that they were included.
Senator Scoia.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I just was trying to save you a stop because I don't think you want this bill to go to the Environment Policy Committee. So that's why I am taking those out. I think it's obviously I included them in the amendment. I think it would be good for them to have input into the decisions in the study, but if we leave them in and it's going to include a stop, then the amendment would not be able to be added because the chair isn't going to stop this at the Environment Policy Committee.
Mr. Chair, I think that's why it seems to make sense why this study would have been good as a bill, introduced as a bill on its own.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhary, I did have a bill introduced into this committee that dealt with producer payments and cellulosic ethanol, and I unfortunately didn't get a hearing on it, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to quit working on the issue.
Senator Wergen, do you have something you want to add?
Well, Mr. Chair, I did, but only if they're finished with this conversation because it's a little different. Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, I fully support your amendment, what you're doing here, and I'm just asking the question by splitting the amendment after 1.6 and voting on 1.7 to the end separate from the first part. You're also lumping page 7, line 11, in other words, lines 1.2, 3, and 4, in with the deletion of that section. And those are actually fairly minor changes that probably would be good to take place. Would it, and if not, please say so, would it not be better simply to offer the page 18 delete section 22 as a separate amendment from your amendment here so that you don't lose lines 1.2, 3, and 4?
Excellent.
Mr. Knapp.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wergen, actually, lines 1.2 to 1.4 are tied to the deletion of the biofuel program because it's technically removing that language from an appropriation that was tied into that program. So the program isn't there. It needs to happen at the same time. So actually the way the amendment was structured by Senator Scoy does make sense because it would be tied to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And, Mr. Chair, I think Senator Wergen, the reason we divided it was at Senator Kubley's request so that we could vote on the section separate from the study.
Kubley?
Well, I think it was Senator Scoy's motion to, to divide the amendment. Is that what we're doing now? Okay. I'd ask Senator Scoy to renew his motion, and we can vote on each half then.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Kubley and Senator Chaudhary, as I've been sitting here thinking about this, if we're really going to make progress on this study, we need to have all of the people that are involved in this at the table during the discussion. And so if we do our study that's Section 29, and leave Section 22 in the bill, perhaps we could move forward with a real reasonable study that will bring us good information instead of bringing the Commissioner of Natural Resources and Board of Water Soil Resources, taking them out of the picture. So as I sit here and reflect upon this, and you're going to have a lot of time in conference committee, I would assume, Mr. Chair, to also work through these issues, I'll not offer the first portion of this amendment and just offer lines 7 through 31.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. Did you incorporate those changes you mentioned about the commissioners and the...
No, we just had discussion about those. I did not incorporate the deletion.
Senator Williams.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I got it. The Natural Resources and Board of Water and Soil Resources are staying in at this point. Senator Scoy?
Well,
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Wergen, I think that kind of becomes Senator Chaudhary's call because if he still wants to see this study in his committee, then I just won't offer anything and I'll vote against the bill.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dale.
Mr. Chairman, listening to all the debate, I think we've kind of come through the discussion here at a point where I think we, at least I know what I think should happen. I'm glad we had Senator Kubley's amendment and his adjustment in his language, and I'm glad Senator Scully's adjusted his amendment down to the last portion starting just Section 29. I think between the combination of Senator Kubley's amendment and what Senator Scully is suggesting right now, it would be just right. Mm-hmm. So let's vote for Senator Scoy's amendment.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Senator Scoy, what about just lines 27, 28, and 29? If we want more information, why don't we just have the commissioner send the legislature a report?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Let's go
ahead. Senator Chaudhry, I think that that's what we want as a report, but I also think it's fine for the legislature to give them a little guidance as to the direction we would like them to be looking. If there's more that you want them to look at, I could certainly consider that, but I think it would be just fine to have a little direction for this group of stakeholders that are going to be meeting.
Mr. Chair, I don't understand. I don't understand the direction they need. The portion of the cellulosic biofuels is pretty detailed on what you're prescribing them to do. And what I'm gathering from your remarks may not be the entirety of your remarks, but some of your remarks indicate that we want information after we pass this bill. So why don't we just have the commissioner send us a report after we pass this bill by December 1st, 2007? That's,
Mr. Chair,
9 months away.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, what would the report be about?
Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, you could just tack it on to the end of Senator Kubley's section here.
Well,
Ms. Goy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry and Senator Kubley, I think I have the votes to delete the section, to be honest with you. I've kind of made some concessions in not doing that. We can just delete all of this stuff out of here and not do a study and come back next year and take another look at it, or we can try to move forward. I guess kind of leave it in your hands.
Mr. Chaudhry?
Oh, Mr. Chair, I don't think we need to study cellulosic. I think we need to implement it.
Senator Chaudhry, Senator Kubley, and Senator Scoy, I was hoping we could get this bill wrapped up and put on and so we can finish it up. But if you have every right as a chair to pull at your committee, and when we have time to do that, I believe it would go to rules. That they would decide?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. If there were a motion made on the floor, it would go to rules first.
Members, I had all of you in my office on both sides to try to figure out the first bill that we could agree on, bipartisan support, and move it quickly. And so I'm somewhat befuddled what direction we're going in. This committee can go any direction they want to go in. But
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm certainly willing to take Senator Scoy's amendment, that the BART portion that he has left. So,
okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, what's going to be the result if you're ending up in the Education Policy Committee before the week is out? Environment Policy Committee.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I was just picking up on what Senator Chaudhry is talking about, and he was talking about cellulosic ethanol. I believe that's what you're talking about, Senator Chaudhry, is we don't need to study it, we just need to implement it. Or I believe that's what you said. But since it's never been done before that I know of, I think it's probably appropriate to study it. make sure we're on the right track. And there's probably a lot of unknowns, a lot of things we don't know yet. We need to know to make it work. So I think study would make more sense at this point in time than to implement it.
Well, Mr. Chair, in order to move this thing along, I would offer my amendment. Let's see where it goes. I have deleted, we're only dealing with Section 29 provision, and if it fails, then we don't have to worry about it. If it passes, then we can see what happens, I guess.
Any further discussion on Senator Scoy's amendment? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Adopted. Now where are we at? Senator Deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment. I don't have it in my possession, but I don't know the number of it. But
A8.
What is it?
A8.
Okay, I'd like to offer the A8 amendment. So, Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Dale,
Mr. Members, this has to do with the bill that I had earlier that was through this committee and has been through the Committee on Local Government that Senator Ann Rest chairs. And based on some discussions I had with Dr. George Ream and others, we have some adjustments made in this bill. But just to refresh your memory, this is the bill that sets up the Minnesota Ag Fertilizer Research and Education Council, and it allows for a fee to be collected on each ton of fertilizer that equals 40 cents, which comes out to about 4 to 8 cents per acre, depending on how much fertilizer you're using. The fiscal note indicates that probably around $880,000 would be collected annually through this mechanism. The council that is listed on the front page of the amendment would meet and decide how this money is going to be used for appropriate research on fertilizer use, and a lot of the emphasis is going to be on doing a better job environmentally and try to reduce our fertilizer use provide key research that's necessary to move our industry forward. So Senator Vickerman and I sat on a task force that developed this idea over a period of half a year, three quarters of a year. And the task force was made up of all the agricultural groups that are affected by fertilizer purchases. And what you see before you is a result of that effort. Now, one key element here is that there's a refund program in place so that if a farmer doesn't feel like supporting this research program, he can collect his money and get it back from the state of Minnesota, who is going to be collecting it. So that's, I think you've heard the bill before, so I'll offer the A8 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Members, here in line, don't like to add checkoff fees, but if you study this like we have the last couple of years, if you use less fertilizer, you easily get your money back. And that's what the idea is. Am I right, Senator Deal?
To use less fertilizer and to use it in a more environmentally sound way.
Senator Scoy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I won't belabor this because Senator Dill said we have had a pretty extensive discussion about this issue. But you know, when I look at all this general fund expenditures that we have, I would have hoped that Senator Dill would have tried to squeeze this in here somewhere and not do this. It's not a checkoff, it's a tax, because checkoffs are based on production. And this is not based on production, it's a tax on fertilizer. And producers have already lines on their fertilizer bill for water and other things. And while I support the goals, I don't support the funding mechanism.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, Senator Scoia, I think that would be a nice idea, too, to put a line item in here. And, and I was thinking about doing that as an option, and hopefully later Senator Bickerman would get some more money somewhere and we could fill that out. But then one of the problems we have, we've got to come back year after year after year after year after year to try to do it. And this is kind of an ongoing system for continuous funding of important research. So I'm open to for discussion on this. I think this language is going to be in the House bill for sure. And if we wanted to put a line item in this bill to with a little bit of money in it, just to, so it's there as an option to talk about later, that would be okay with me too. 3 years ago, but I don't know where it is. I got to.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dill, I've been wishful thinking for the last 2 weeks for more one-time money, but so far it hasn't done much. Got a little today that we I don't want it to die. Look around, it might not make it just because the chair likes it and you like it. That doesn't mean the rest of them like it. I there's some concern when you get up in Scoia's country up there where they have, you know, big acres. He's got Langstaff, monstrous acres for sugar beets. And, I'm going to support it, but everybody else got to make their own mind up. But Senator Dill, what's your wish? Some watching the clock. Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a little noise from this end, at least. Just direct a question to Senator Dill. They're going to get 40 cents a ton. I know we probably went through this, but then they have to apply to get it back. How long is the process? Is it in here? Am I missing it? How long before you return your money back to the farmer?
The language in the amendment calls for getting it back before the 28th of February the following year. And you can submit your paperwork and your application anytime during the year, but the way the amendment's crafted, the checks would go out after the first of the year, during that first 2 months of the year. The forms would be available from the Department of Agriculture, and that filled out together with receipts to show that you paid this fee would be enough to trigger a rebate. And the estimated rebate that was calculated a year ago, because this bill has been before us 2 years in a row, was $11.09 per farmer.
Oh, okay. So it's a very small
rebate per farm. Assuming there's an assumption that about 1,500 farmers would ask for a rebate, and that would amount to about $16,000.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Senator Dill, you made that motion, didn't you? Everybody understand Senator Dill's motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion's not adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wiggins.
If I could have the A07 amendment passed out for discussion.
Do I have that? That's
Senator Dill, that just showed you how much power the chair has got.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to try to another amendment here if we can figure it out to try to put a line item in there.
We're in Senator Wiggins right now.
We don't have an 807 amendment.
You don't have one?
No. It sounds like a revised amendment. Yeah,
Senator Wiggins.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can just go through what I wanted to accomplish because I'm not going to offer it anyway because you've taken care of most of it. But I wanted folks to know that it was on the table. So just for discussion purposes, basically what the AO7 amendment would have done, which council should have, was to back up a little bit on the whole cellulosic and next-gen energy stuff and do a study. But Senator Scoia has already graciously taken care of that because I do feel like we can't move forward too quickly on something that's very unproven. So this would have taken a step back in a little bit different way and created a next-gen energy board that the governor had requested that we do in a standalone bill as well. And it would have done a promotion to promote the installation of gasification technologies, but you included that in some of your supplements. So I just wanted folks to know that there was another one out there that thought we should proceed with some caution, and that I thought that the governor had a really good idea and still do in creating a next-gen energy board so that we can move forward on the next-generation energy, but move forward with some caution, not to stall the process, but to make sure that we do the best thing. But because of what Senator Scully has done and the changes Senator Coobley has made and all of that, I don't need to offer it at this time.
Let's see, who else?
Well, I'm not sure that you were going to say something. I just have a couple of other amendments I was going to offer. So,
well, right now,
if you're still working on this, that's fine.
Let's go with Senator Laurie then.
Oh, I had an amendment I was going to try to get in there too, and the A6 amendment. Are we taking up the A6? Yeah, I can just describe it quickly. This language on page 5 was taken from Senate File 1039, the organic certification cost-sharing program, and there was just a couple of small changes from the bill as it was introduced. On page 5, line 13, we would change the two-thirds there to three-fourths, as it was in the original bill. On page 5, line 14, we would fill in the dollar amount there, which is the $500. So this would be the cap, either $500 or three-quarters of the cost, whichever is less. Page 5, delete lines 21 and 22. Those weren't in the original in Senate File 1039 either. That was the limit of the fund up to 5 years. One of the reasons to do that is that it really adds a great deal of administrative cost to the agency to track those 5 years, and is just really... Oh, yeah, and page 5, line 23, up to 5 years. Get rid of that whole sentence that limits it to just 5 years. That wasn't in the original bill either. That's my amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just add a little bit to what Senator Laurie was saying. As I understood, the provision on the 5 years and the two-thirds were in conversations. That was the existing program. We were putting some of the levels in. But as I understand it now, the federal program is three-fourths. The federal program is up to $500, and the federal program does not cut off after 5 years. So this is matching it with the federal program, so there's some consistency. Just to add to what Senator Laurie.
Right, and this is the program that more of the farmers in Minnesota, my understanding is, have gone through the federal program. The federal program has been very unstable and is likely to be gone, and so we're kind of, this is bringing it in line to what the farmers are used to getting, the three-quarters. The 500 is really going to be the more often used limit than the three-quarters. Not all that many are going to reach the three-quarters limit, but that does bring it in line with the Fed's rule, and there is no five-year limit on the Fed's either, and that to add that in would add some administrative burden to the agency to try to track that.
Well, Senator Laurie, I don't have any idea what the cost would be. Do you have any?
Well, we have, as long as you bring it up. The bill was for.
Bring it up, Senator Laurie, because we spent a lot of time going on the two-thirds and the 500. Several days we visited on that issue. So I'm not against what you're doing, but I just want
to. I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I can barely hear you.
Pardon?
I can barely hear you. The cost is capped at right now. Right now, the program is funded from the state at $50,000. We came to ask for a total funding of $275,000. In the recommendation here, we got $100,000 added, so it brings it from $50,000 to $150,000. We're $125,000 still shy of what we asked for. And we really do have 500 farms in Minnesota right now that are operating as organic, and we have, I believe, 125 processors that are also operating as organic and eligible for this. So we're really only going to be funding about 300 of the 600 operations that would be eligible for this at the current level. You know, I see a lot of environmental cleanup in the bill here. I see a lot of ag development funding, and I just think that we have a lot of folks that are out there doing really good work in agriculture right now, and we need to show some real support for those efforts that are currently going on that are out there doing the good work. I guess I'm not coming to you right now having this sheet laid in front of me in a format that I guess I can keep for the first time. I'm not looking for to shift money out of these right now, but what I would like to is to get on the record that if we do get more money into this agency, that I'll be right at the top of the list to, because this is less than half of what we ask for to support those farms that are out there right now doing this great work. And so I would like to be right at the very top of the list if we can lean on folks elsewhere.
Laurie, I don't know if you were here when I first started, but I made the comment, if you need money, you take it from somebody, you tell me where you're going to take it from and how we're going to replace it. We can look at that. I think that's a good idea. It doesn't ruin the bill. You just see how maybe there will be
more. Well, that's what I'm saying. Where I'm going to take it is dollar one from the next dollars that come in here is my proposal.
Senator Wiggins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Laurie, with all due respect, to strike lines 21 and 22 and the first part of line 23 and extend this out beyond the first five-year period, really, if an organic farmer has been out there for 5 years, they should be fairly well established. And I would think if the goal is to encourage organic farming, which I think your goal probably is, I don't know why we would strike the part that supplies the funding to the to well-established organic farms instead of leaving that language in there and ending it after the 5 years. And on 5.13, three-fourths again also does the same thing. It makes less new organic farmers eligible to receive part of the payment. And I would think that your goal would be to make sure that as many folks get helped as they want, as need to, or we can help. And, Mr. Chair, I have a question on line 5.14 for Mr. Mueller or Mr. Knopf, whoever is appropriate. On 5.14, the blank where Senator Laurie is filling in $500, I don't see that filled in anywhere. We have the $100,000 cap, but was there something on that line that I missed you saying?
Chairman, Senator Wiggins, that's one of the reasons it was left blank in here. The current program is at $200. Was the cap was at $200 per participant. Senator Laurie's bill had it at $500 per participant. And talking with the chairman, we weren't sure what to set that. We were looking at the amount of money that might be available for it and whether to set that cap at a different level. As I understand it, I talked with some representative from the University of Minnesota who works with these organic growers today. Since the federal one is at $500, they were hoping to put it at $500 because then whether you're getting the federal money or you're getting the state money, you're getting the same amount. They were more concerned with that than to set this level at something that would fund everybody. In fact, the comment I asked the representative if they would rather be able to fund everybody or to fund it at this level, even though there's not as much money in Senator Laurie's original bill, they said they'd rather have it match. And if they run out of money on a first come first serve basis, that so be it. To me.
Senator Chairman and Senator Wiggin, if I can respond to the first parts before they're gone from my brain here. The five-year limit and to go to that, and why I agree with you that once a business is sustainable and moving forward, that's typically good policy. But what we're dealing with here is federal requirements, and they have to get certified again year after year after year after year and still face these same fees that the private companies that come in to certify them charge. And so these are ongoing costs that are a real part of doing business and keep people out of the organic field, even if, looking down the road, you can see that you're going to run into these ongoing costs. And if the state can step up to the plate and support some of these programs in a reasonable fashion, I think it's all the better. And again, it brings it into line with what the farmers have been used to under the federal program that is pretty much going away. And it'll help position Minnesota as a leader in this. You know, if we can support this industry and make sure that our farmers are able to get this certification, our farmers that want to go down this path are able to get this certification, it'll be one area where Minnesota can really step up to the plate and be a leader in fostering organic.
Senator Wergen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I don't have a dog in this fight, so I'm just looking for your direction and wanted to offer that.
Yeah, I need to kind of correct myself. It doesn't take any more money. The money will be gone quicker, in simple terms. Fewer people will qualify because the money will run out.
Okay. And I had that same discussion with the organic folks that represent the organic and try to foster the organic industry, and they did think that just having the money run out on a first-come, first-served basis was better than a smaller amount spread more evenly across the farmers. So I'm willing to go with the folks that are leading this charge in developing and fostering this industry.
Senator Scoy, do you have a question on this?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. How many potential organic producers will not get any money then, and how many will get full? It doesn't seem fair to me that there would be some that get 100% of their costs and some get zero because you ran out.
Right.
I think I just was curious about the policy of that, why we would do that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scoy, just doing a quick numbers on it, it would leave out about 200 of the 500 farmers that are known to be farming that way in Minnesota. Pretty significant number.
Right. Members, what's your wishes?
Call the vote.
Did you make a?
I'd like to move the amendment.
Okay. On the Laurie amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Amendment is not adopted. If you want to show a division, I can do that.
Didn't sound like it passed to me either.
I have this artillery that I have to be sure and lean real close. So. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a division.
As this bill moves along, we can build the house is different.
She can ask her to Senator
Harrison Rose. Harrison Rose, do you have something?
Yeah, I'd like a division. I was unclear on that vote.
Okay. All those in favor of the Laurie motion, raise your hand. All those opposed? I guess I hear pretty good. Senator Corey.
Mr. Chairman, you do hear very excellent. And I do have an amendment, a non-controversial amendment, that I would like to offer. It's the A1 amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, if I could, while they're handing it out, this amendment changes the use of the A1.
You better state the rest of the number because I have an A1 amendment.
Oh, okay.
Is it unreasonable?
It's the SC
23A1 is the amendment.
23A1. This amendment changes the use of the proud to be a veteran.
Corey, let's wait till late.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there is one small typo in the amendment while it's being distributed on line 7 of the amendment, and Senator Corrin could just incorporate this in his motion without the need for a vote. Constructions should just be deleted. Insert construction. We don't need the S on the end of it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would incorporate that.
Sure. I think we're okay. Why don't you explain your amendment?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, what this amendment does is it changes the use of the Proud to Be a Veteran plate. Currently, the plate money for the money that is accumulated from this program from the plates was used for the building of the World War II Memorial. The World War II Memorial is now completed. What this amendment would do, then, it allows the proceeds from the plate program to go to veterans program like the annual tribute, the memorial program at the World War II site, or the State Veterans Day program to be held by the Department of Veterans Affairs. So was asked to do this by the department. So if you'd have any questions, I'd stand for those now.
Senator Coring, you convinced me already. Move your bill.
Okay.
Your amendment, I should say.
So yeah, I would renew my amendment, the 23A1 amendment.
Recommend to pass.
Recommend to pass.
Discussion. Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Any more amendments?
Mr. Chair. I still have a couple small ones. I have the 4689A1 amendment. I can talk about it a little bit while it's being handed out, Ms. Chair. It would widen who is eligible to receive the incentive payments under the bioenergy portion of the bill if they are not the owner of the facility, and it would apply the same as Section 45 of the Internal Revenue Service Code, but anyway, it would address different financial structures of renewable energy plants when there are passive investors in the legal ownership structure. So it comes to us from the Fibromin plant out in Benson, Mr. Chair. But we'll see what the committee thinks. But we do want to ensure that producers of renewable energy, whether or not their owners, can gain some incentives as well.
Any discussion? Senator Kubley, what's your amendment do again?
Well, I suppose if you want to boil it down to the least common denominator, Mr. Chair, it would make the turkey litter plant in Benson eligible for the bioenergy incentive.
Any discussion? I'm all for turkey litter. Okay, on the Kubley, the A-1 amendment.
Just a minute.
Underdale.
What's this going to cost?
On the Kubley?
Well, I don't know that, Mr. Chair. There's only a certain amount of money that's available on that line. It would just make them eligible for the producer payment, I suppose, would be there. It's not a cellulosic material, which is primarily what we're talking for, unless the turkey eats some and that passes through the turkey.
Senator Wiggins.
But Mr. Chair, this type of facility where they're using the turkey waste and generating electricity, they already get a payment for the excess energy that they produce and sell it to the power company to go on the grid. So, I mean, they already are getting a subsidy through the power company. Is that not? I think that's correct.
Well, Ms. Chair and Senator Wergen, they do have a power purchase agreement. I'm not sure. You're calling it a subsidy. I guess I don't know. I don't know how they arrived at the terms of their power purchase agreement, but.
Senator Deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Wergen, this is part of the 1994 dry cast storage bill at Prairie Island, where the NSP had to buy a certain amount of electricity from biomass and a certain amount from wind. And it took a long time to figure out this biomass angle. And as I recall, the average cost, estimated average cost of that of that for, of that energy that's being purchased at Benson from this source is something like 8 cents per kilowatt hour. But I'm not sure I know of any other. There's a mandate that they have to do it, but I don't know about the subsidy.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Senator Dillon, Senator Cooley, the word subsidy was a poor use of a word. They are purchasing the energy. You're right. It's exactly what you're talking about. And then in 2000 and I think it was when in 2004 that we redid the storage, the nuclear storage. Was that 2004? Sure. But anyway, when we redid it, then I had inserted back in for the eligible payments for the company these same facilities to get that excess power paid for by the power company. So they get a producer payment from the power company for any excess energy that they produce and don't use. So part of what I'm saying, I guess, is if they get that payment from the power company, do we want these same facilities to be eligible for the producer payments under the biomass? In other words, they'd be getting two payments and somebody else wouldn't be getting quite as much. If that's my understanding of the law currently.
Then a council, it's costing you money.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mueller and I were just discussing that. The amendment is fairly simple in that it just says that if you don't own the facility, that the person running the facility can get the payment. The question is how will this affect the fiscal note? Because the fiscal note we got from the department, Mr. Mueller can elaborate on that, it said that it's $11 million in 2011 would be the payment. So they didn't expect any of it to come online until then. I know that there's an existing facility there, but if you look at the definition on page 22 of bioenergy production, it does say it's generation of energy for commercial heat, industrial heat, and so on. And then it says that it's displacing existing use of fossil fuel after the effective date of this section. So the way I read that and the way I understood the proposers of this language, that would be only for new production after the effective date. It wouldn't apply to anything existing going on out there at the time. But if they did expand and did something, and it could affect the fiscal implications of this bill, if there's a facility now that would be coming online before 2011, it could affect the money parts of the bill.
Senator Cooley?
Mr. Chair and members, that the plant is not currently online, so it would probably, under that scenario, it would make them eligible. But I was wondering if there's somebody here from or representing the facility that would like to say a word, Mr. Chair.
Don't see anybody.
Okay.
Senator Cooley, I'm not so sure I like the smell of that turkey manure now.
I think I'll withdraw the amendment, Mr. Chair. Could I go on to the A9 amendment, though? Well, the A9 amendment, Mr. Chair and members, is a fairly simple amendment. It just inserts some language on page 7, line 13. Let's see, on page 7, line 13, before the period, you'd insert the words that follow there, or projects that will reduce the use of fossil-based fuel in ethanol plants.
Everybody find it, page? Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to mention, as we adopted the spreadsheet earlier, as you're maybe considering this amendment, you might want to note that the blank amount on line 7.8 is going to be 100, per the spreadsheet that we adopted, is $150,000. So this would just, out of that $150,000 that is in the spreadsheet and then would be inserted in this language here, this would expand the possibilities for grants out of that $150,000.
Oh, boy.
Everybody understand it? Senator Chaudhry?
Oh. Just had a question, Mr. Chair. What is the difference between eligible cellulosic biofuel facilities and projects that will reduce the use of fossil-based fuel in ethanol plants? Is that basically the difference between
Kubley?
Switchgrass and corn?
Okay, well, I'm getting a signal from those that asked me to offer this amendment to withdraw it, so I'll withdraw.
Okay, any more amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dill, I'll go to you next.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to offer the same amendment that I offered before because I believe this committee made a mistake. And I'm going to ask for a roll call vote. So I'm going to offer the A8 amendment one more time.
That's a check, Senator Dill. That's a checkoff amendment. Okay. Any discussion?
So, Mr. Chairman, members, this is the report right here that was put together. Report to the state legislature, recommendations from the Agricultural Nutrient Task Force dated March 6, 2006. This group met five times. The last meeting was the 10th of February, 2006. And we started on September 12, 2005. We spent almost 1 year meeting on this. And those that were part of this task force and came up with this proposal includes Senator Jim Vickerman, Senator Steve Dill, Representative Al Junkie, Representative Greg Blaine, and the following organizations were present. Minnesota Farmers Union. Now, I know that there's an element here that they don't support, but to the best of my knowledge, all the rest of these groups do support this. They were part of the task force, and this is a recommendation. Minnesota Soybean Growers. You can think about whether you want to vote against all these groups. The Area 2 Potato Growers, Minnesota Irrigators Association, Minnesota Corn Growers, the Agri Alliance, the Wantanon Farm Service, Minnesota Grain and Feed Organization, headed by Bob Zelenka, Minnesota Crop Retailers, represented by Bill Bond, who's here today, a crop consulting firm represented by Dennis Berglund, Dr. George Ream, University of Minnesota professor, who is seated in the audience today. And you can decide if you want to vote against Dr. George Ream because he's very much in favor of this proposal. And then the Potash and Phosphate Institute. Deputy Commissioner Perry Osnes from the Department of Agriculture was present. And the group was staffed by Greg Bozicki, Division Director of Pesticides and Fertilizer Management, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Bruce Montgomery, who is the supervisor for the Fertilizer Management Unit in the Department of Agriculture, Greg Rangimpel, I don't know if I pronounced that right, who's part of the Pesticide Management Unit. And this is the report that was put together. Now, you've had all kinds of proposals here where people want general fund money. I think it's very inappropriate for this committee to say no to somebody that wants to collect some fees from themselves. And if there's some farmer in this state that doesn't like it, they can get their money back. But for this committee to sit here and say no to all these farm organizations and all these farmers that want to do a better job with their fertilizer application, do a better job to protect the environment, do a better job of producing crops out there with hopefully less fertilizer, to say no to that group, I don't think is appropriate. I think we should go ahead and put this on Senator Vickerman's bill because it's the right thing to do. You've got a group of people out there that have decided they want something done in this area. They're willing to tax themselves. And it's completely different than all these other groups coming in here with their handout for general fund money.
So let's do the right thing. And if somebody out there, Tom Peterson from Farmers Union, or some of those people don't want to do this, there's a mechanism in there so they can get their $11 back.
Senator Scoia, do you have a follow-up question?
Well, Senator Dill, I give you kudos for perseverance, but nobody's arguing with the goals of the group. But groups meet and have, interns where they're studying policies, and then they come with recommendations. And many times, and most times, the recommendations are good, but they struggle with the funding. And the example I would use is the Clean Water Initiative in this state. They spent a long time working on initiatives to clean up the water of the state. Their goals are all very worthwhile, but their recommendation to pay for it was a sewage tax on ISTS. Nobody liked that. And so they're operating under these constraints. Now, nobody's arguing about the goals of this group. I don't personally like the mechanism that they put in place for paying for it. And so I'm not going to support your amendment this time, as I haven't in the past.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Senator Dill, I might be more inclined to support your amendment if you had some more environmental representation on the council. I do remember your testimony where you indicated that that these farm groups were environmentally oriented, and I won't dispute that, but if there were five members of environmental organizations added, that would still be 17 to 5. Excuse me. 12 to 5. And you might gain my vote and a couple others on the committee. Would you consider that?
No deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, how many dollars are the environmental groups going to put into this deal? The other people on this task force and this council, all 12 of them, have got money that they're kicking into the pot.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, I'll figure something out. Maybe it's plenty of fees we can come up with.
On the Dill motion, Senator Dill moves adoption of, recommends adoption of the A-8 amendment. And the roll call has been called for. Secretary will take the roll.
Erickson Ropes. Chaudhry.
Pass.
Dill.
Yes.
Kimsey.
Yes.
Hahn. Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Coring.
No.
Kubli.
No.
Langseth?
No.
Lori?
No.
Murphy? Scoy?
No.
Scogan?
No.
Wergen?
Yes.
Dickerman?
Yes.
Chaudhry votes aye.
Five to seven. The count being 5-7, the amendment is not adopted. Any more amendments? Senator Dill.
All right. I think we should do more for the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute. And I don't think there's enough money in here. We got the governor's proposal to give them a couple million a year, a million a year or so, and they really need $4 million a year. And that's an organization that's done a lot of good in this state. And there's a lot of demand out there right now for additional research and assistance, because there are so many organizations that want assistance with energy production and so on. And I think we've undercut them on this. It's too bad there wasn't a bill introduced to help them out. But that's one element that I think is missing in this bill, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what to do about it right now. But if you ever get any more money in this bill, I think we should think about RE.
Well, Senator, nobody's tried harder to get her money than me, because I happen to be on that board now. It's kind of hard for me to go to them and tell them we didn't have enough money, but we didn't. But I'm willing to look seriously, and I always will, if more money comes in. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the House is going to do. So we'll do different things. Senator Scogan, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate Senator Dill's comments. When I saw the budget, I too felt that we had underfunded that. I've had a conversation with that group, and didn't realize, I guess, at the time how carefully they had been guided by Senator Dallas Sams. So I have made a commitment to them to carry bills for them in the future. And I apologize to them for dropping the ball this session, but Senator Dill, I appreciate you recognizing that as well.
Okay, members, we'll keep that in mind as we move along through the process between here in the House and see what takes place. Any other amendments? Okay, members, we need two motions, I believe it is. The first one would be what, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, you're going to need two different motions. There, you'll basically have one that will pertain to the omnibus funding bill, the continuing budget bills, and that motion would be to instruct staff to incorporate the appropriations shown on the previously adopted spreadsheet into the documents that are labeled SC4689-4 and 4923-3, together with any necessary technical amendments, and to prepare that for introduction by the chairman as a division bill. That bill would be referred to finance.
Everybody understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. Members, another motion?
And Mr. Chairman, then just this would not be for preparation as a bill, but we're also going to need some instructions to prepare the one-time funding bill for recommendation to the Finance Committee for the division recommendation for one-time funding. And that would include the same instructions to incorporate the appropriations from the spreadsheet and make any necessary technical amendments.
Everybody understand the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Well, I think we have that done. I want to make one kind of statement here. And I see the veteran sitting back there. We tried to find more money. Just couldn't do it. There's a couple other things floating around. There's a tax bill out there, and there's a GI bill in higher ed. I don't know where those two are. But what we had control of, this committee worked very hard. And I want this committee to, if this passes, it'll pass here, but we got a way to go. Write your papers, get on the radio. As I said last year, this is our bill. This is not my bill. This is not the governor's bill. This is the veterans' bill. Remember that. We tried as hard as we could, and see, we won't meet Thursday. We will not meet on Thursday because we have to get this ready and moved it in. If there's any further discussion, if not, thank all of you for working hard, and we are adjourned.